Amen. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn in them with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And while you're turning there, the children are free to be dismissed for the children's Bible lesson with Miss Lydia today, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 8 is found on page number 813 in your pew Bibles. I've been preaching a sermon series on the subject of worship, but at least right now, taking a little bit of a detour this Lord's Day, and I guess the previous two Lord's Days, when I preached the Sunday before Christmas on the Incarnation, and then one of our seminary students, Will Fagan, preached last Lord's Day. Lord willing, next week we'll take a turn back to the subject of worship. But today we're looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. What you have in Matthew's account of the life and teachings of Jesus is a pattern where you have activities and then teaching, and then activities and then teaching. You see this over and over in the Gospel of Matthew. And what we encounter here in chapter 8 are his activities. And in particular, what we're seeing are his healings. And those are designed to show his authority over all things, especially things in the physical realm. So whenever he teaches, one of the things you read about his teaching is that the listeners are astounded because he preaches as one with authority. And so in his teaching, Jesus exemplifies, exercises his authority, but not just in words that he says and in abstract concepts, perhaps, but in actual physical activities. In the material world, Jesus also exercises authority, things that Hunter was saying earlier. And so we see that in the healings that Jesus performs throughout Scripture. Now, this particular healing takes place in the city of Capernaum, which is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. Israel is the size approximately of Jerusalem, of New Jersey is what I meant to say. So it's mostly a north and south sort of, not very wide, but more north and south country. And the Sea of Galilee is about the size of Mobile Bay. And it's in the northern section of Israel. And that's where the Sea of Galilee is. Capernaum is a town on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. It's Peter's hometown. And as we see, Jesus here is performing some miracles, doing some teaching there. The centurion is a Roman military official who at a minimum oversaw 100 men, depending on how it was used and the particular time. It may have been more, but he would have been over at least 100 men. A very powerful man, probably a wealthy man, not a Jewish man. We learn from Luke that he was well loved by the Jews. He was a generous man and did good things to the Jews, but he was not a Jewish man. And his primary role would be for the Roman government to keep the peace, to make sure that there was no insurrection, no rebellion going on in that particular part of the world for the Roman government. So that's the context. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, please open our eyes during this time that we might behold wonderful things from this your word. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In sporting events, it's usually a whistle that is blown to sort of get things started. It's sort of the way to announce, okay, the game has begun. It's official. Or in baseball, they time games, and the game starts supposedly, or at the point the umpire points to the pitcher and says, "Play ball." In other words, the beginning of a game is a messenger announcing, proclaiming, declaring that the game has begun. It has started. Another way to say it is that the beginning of the game is announced by a messenger. Now, you see that in your daily Bible reading. Now, hopefully, many of you, most of you, all of you, is that too much to ask, will be joining us in our church-wide Bible reading program for 2022, which is a reading through the New Testament. The last couple of years, we've done the entire Bible. This year, we're just focusing on the New Testament, and the way we're working through it is with this called the 5x5x5 plan. I know we've got some copies out there in the narthex, this yellow sheet. There's also a link, you can get it on your phone, where you're reading one chapter a day of the Bible, 5x5x5, because you read only 5 chapters a week. You get 2 days off to sort of reflect or to catch up if you missed a day. But it's very doable, about 5 minutes, reading just the one chapter, and it starts with the Gospel of Mark. And so today you would be reading Mark chapter 2. Well, in Mark chapter 1, which I'm sure you all read yesterday, the very first verses that we encounter in Mark chapter 1 are these: the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. And then he's going to quote the Old Testament here, the Old Testament Isaiah. Quote, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist, which is to whom that is referring, appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So you see right there in the beginning of our daily Bible reading, the beginning of the good news is a messenger of the good news. That's how it all begins. A message of good news must be announced. It must be proclaimed. It must be shared or declared. And I want you to think back even in your own life. No doubt, many of you here would be able to call to mind one who announced, who proclaimed good news to you, that Christ is Savior and Christ is Lord. You know, maybe it was your pastor or your preacher, your home church many years ago, perhaps. Maybe it was a parent who did that. Maybe it was your cousin. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a fraternity brother or a sorority sister. Maybe it was your physical therapist. God uses all sorts of people, normal people, not just preachers, but normal people to announce the good news of salvation, deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of the gospel is a messenger of the gospel. Now, this passage reminds us that the gospel is for all peoples. And that means you and me. And as ones who have received and heard this good news and been united to Christ, then filled, Lord willing, by the Spirit, we in turn announce and proclaim this message of good news. So let me mention just 3 points about messengers of the good news from this passage of Scripture. Number one, messengers of the good news beg God. Messengers of good news beg God, which you see in verse 5 here. When he had entered Capernaum, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. And then here's the appeal: "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." He pleaded with him. He, another translation says, he implored him. I think the old King James says that the centurion came beseeching him. Now, the centurion is no John the Baptist, but he's certainly begged the Lord on behalf of another. He was concerned about his friend and servant, and he cried out to God for him, begging the Lord on his behalf. Sometimes this is called earnestness in prayer. Earnestness in prayer. Diligence. Crying out to God. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, a parable is told, and it reads, this is what we read in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Or the Michael Brock paraphrase, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should beg God and keep on begging God. I heard of a lady who tells the following story. She writes, I was surprised to read a Facebook posting from a friend in South Dakota named Diane. She wrote, quote, had a nice surprise last night. At about 10:30 p.m., the phone rang. That's really late. You're going to wake up a lot of people you call at 10:30 at night. Anyway, it was Governor Mike Rounds checking in with us to see how the road repair was going. There had been a lot of flooding in the area where Diane lives, and the roads were a mess, and the governor actually called her to see how she felt about the repair progress. When I wrote Diane to express my surprise, she said it wasn't the first time a governor had called her. Another time, some years ago, one of South Dakota's previous governors called about some FEMA money for the area. She told me that when the governor called, she was in the middle of a home perm, but she couldn't very well tell the governor to hold while she rinsed her hair. This lady writes, I know that South Dakota is a small state, but this was incredible to me. I asked Diane if she was in county government or something, and she said she wasn't. Sensing I was blown away by her interactions with the government, she had this to say, I have found that shaking the tree from the top gets the fastest results. When there's a problem, I usually become the squeaky wheel, and I think they just want to get me off their case. You know, that's sort of the idea behind that parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18. Beg God and keep on begging God. A messenger of good news begs the Lord on behalf of others. A messenger of good news begs the Lord to be used by the Lord to share good news of Christ with others. Second, messengers of good news befriend outsiders. Messengers of good news befriend outsiders. Now, Luke has this account as well as Matthew, this account of the centurion. Note the centurion, or Luke notes that the centurion was well received in that city, that he had been helpful in getting them a synagogue built, which I've walked through the remains of that synagogue. I know Hunter's been to Israel, or he's probably been through that as well. If any of you others have been there, it's an exciting place to venture. Matthew, though, seems to want to highlight how this man was not a Jew, how he was an outsider of sorts. And what he's showing Matthew is that God's people was an expanding group. Notice what it says in verse 11. Many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Jews were rejecting Christ. The Gentiles were accepting Him and receiving Him. And this reference here to many coming from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, it from Matthew is no doubt shocking, because the Jews thought they were the people of God. And so here you've got this centurion, this non-Jew, being a man of faith. So this reference to many coming from the east and west, it was shocking, and it was in process. It was already happening. It was going to be continuing to happen, and it would continue to happen indefinitely into the future. And what it does is it takes you back to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, we read, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, this episode of the wise men coming from the east is what we refer to as Epiphany Sunday, or like I said, I think it's at least the UK, Three Kings Day. Interestingly for us, Epiphany Sunday is always going to be on the first Sunday of the year. I, I, if, you could double check me on that, but it's always going to be, I believe, the first Sunday of the year, or first or second at the most. This means if you preach on this subject, Epiphany, then what I would be doing, which that's not necessarily my plan to preach on this Epiphany every Lord's Day, every Epiphany Sunday, but what it would mean if you did is that the first Sunday of the year, every year, would be a reminder to us all that the good news of Jesus Christ is for all peoples. That it's not, it wasn't just a local Israel thing. It wasn't just a thing for the Jews. It is for you and it is for me. It is for the wealthy. It is for the poor. It is for all people. And I think it's just the providence of God that it happens at the first of the year. It's built into the calendar for us to renew our commitment to proclaiming the good news of Christ every year at this time. And it fits in with God and His plans that He's shown us. Think back to Genesis chapter 12, the covenant made with Abraham. God said, I'm going to be with you, so He promised Him His presence. I'm going to give you land, so He gave Him a place. He promised him that there would be a people that would come from him that would outnumber the sand on the seashore. And then lastly, he gave him a purpose to be a blessing to the nations. This is what you see in Matthew chapter 2 with the Magi coming from the east. This is what you see with the centurion here. And what Jesus says here about people coming from east and west to recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Centurion with Abraham? Are you kidding me? That's what this is. The gospel is good news for us all, for all people. It's always been God's plan for the nations to hear the good news. And let me just say it very starkly. This is for me and for all of us. It's a sin to stay quiet about it. It's a sin not to make an effort to be a messenger of good news. Now, I realize we won't all do it the same way. Not everybody has the same gifts. But I use that phrase intentionally, that we should be making an effort to be a messenger of good news. Take the Brocks. I'll use us as an example, Lisa and I. You know, neither one of us, and Lisa would tell you, she in particular, is not a stand on the street corner, standing on a soapbox, preaching type person. If you know Lisa, I've oftentimes described her as an engineer. She likes to make things. She likes to work with her hands and does that, you know, with our basement being full of sewing equipment and so forth. And so that's what she does, and that's what she's good at. So her efforts to be a messenger of good news to the world is going to look a little bit differently from me. I'm the preacher. But even I, you all know me, I stumble all over my words all the time. I'm not the smoothest in the world when it comes to just explaining things and preaching, teaching. I have to have my notes here. Without my notes, I just really, really fumble through it. But I will never forget a story. I don't think I'll ever forget a story that I heard one time that gives me so much encouragement, and I hope it gives you encouragement too. I've shared it, I believe, before, but I'm going to share it again. I can't remember the guy's name, but a guy came to our church. He moved to Fairhope, and when I was pastor there at Eastern Shore Pres, he moved to town. He had family that was that lived there, children, and he had been on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ many years ago. He was from Texas, and he tells a story about how he came to know the Lord. He was a student at the University of Texas, and he was walking across campus. This would be in the 1970s, and when many folks were becoming Christians, which was part of my prayer this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God would rain down upon our land, we would see people becoming Christian left and right, like we saw in many ways back in the 70s. But anyway, so he was a student at UT, was walking across campus. There was a guy who was out there with a little booklet that the Campus Crusade for Christ group had called The Four Spiritual Laws, and he was trying to talk to people about it. And he was a stutterer. And this guy was a stutterer also. And he was so impressed that this guy who had a major stuttering problem was out there trying to talk with people and share the good news of Christ with people. And with him being a stutterer, he was so impressed that guy was trying that, he said, I'll at least stop and give him the respect that I think he deserves for attempting to do something that would be so incredibly difficult for a stutterer. And that guy stuttered, stumbled, bumbled his way through the gospel presentation. And this fellow stutterer who was listening, the light turned on for him, was switched on, and he gave his life to Christ. So if God can use that stumbling, stuttering man on campus, if God can use others like normal people like you and me, God can use anyone. And God does use anyone. And it's a great joy for us to be able to share good news. That gets to really to my church challenge for 2022. And that is for everyone to meet with one. Everyone meet with one. That's my challenge for us. Now, this is not necessarily an official session challenge for the church. This is just Michael Brock here. But my question is this. Wouldn't it be great if at some point in 2022, every church member initiated a special relationship with someone outside the church? What if every single member of Third Church purposefully engaged someone in conversation about spiritual things? And maybe it turned into a regular thing, maybe a weekly or biweekly or monthly lunch to talk about spiritual things, or coffee, or breakfast, or maybe it's a neighbor. You just walk next door once a week, or every Tuesday night every week, or once a month, or something like that. A few months back, I was talking with Lisa and I were having supper with a church member and his wife, and none of the four of us would say we are gifted evangelists. And I asked a question about this kind of concept, and I asked, don't you think that you could ask maybe one of your unchurched friends to have lunch once a week or every other week or maybe once a month, and you know, just read through a book together and discuss it, or read through a book of the Bible together and discuss it? And the resounding response was, yeah, I could do that. I think all of us in here could do that. I mean, most of us are going to eat lunch every day. Most of us are going to have breakfast. There's opportunities there for us to do that. That's what I'm throwing out as a challenge for 2022 for us. Initiate a special relationship with someone outside the church that is intentionally geared toward talking about spiritual things. And let them know up front that's kind of what your hope is. Everyone meet with one. The beginning of the good news is a messenger of good news. It's something that we all can do. And really what it's doing is loving people. Loving people by being a messenger of good news, by encouraging people to trust Christ fully, by deepening friendships with people. We certainly want to respect people, love them well. We don't want to just shove something down their throat they don't want. We want to treat people with respect in that sense, but we want to initiate conversation. We have good news. If you have good news to share, wouldn't you want to hear it? You know, if you're here watching online and you're not a member of a Third Church, you might think, oh man, I'm kind of a spiritual project of that preacher down there. Well, yes and no. I mean, Christianity teaches us that the greatest joys a man can or woman can experience in life comes from living in submission to God through Christ. Therefore, the best that any of us could ever do is, if Christianity is true, the best thing that any of us could ever do is share that good news and encourage others to live in submission to the Lord and be found in Christ. Matter of fact, you actually ought to be frustrated with Christians who don't try to talk to you about your relationship with the Lord. If it really is good news and we're not talking to you about the Lord, then you rightly should accuse us of being hypocrites, of not really believing what we say we believe if it's good news. So be open to conversation. Be open to dialogue, to debate. That's our challenge, to love people by being messengers of good news. Maybe it means you're more hospitable this year. You might want to read Rosaria Butterfield's book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Excellent book that encourages hospitality and having people in your homes with, again, the goal of deepening friendships and having spiritual conversations. And I'll just give you one warning. Don't pat yourself on the back if you do make an effort to do this. Don't think you've really sacrificed something if you try to do something that is along these lines, because since it's a sin to neglect this sort of effort and evangelism, however your gifts might look, since it's a sin to do that, then it's no sacrifice to give up sin. So we can't pat ourselves on the back and say, really, I'm doing a great job. Thanks. God's lucky to have me on His team. The beginning of the good news. Begins with a messenger of good news. Finally, very quickly, third point. Messengers of good news not only beg God and befriend others, especially outsiders, but messengers of good news believe the Lord, which is what we see here in verse 8. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. Church members, friends, as you take this challenge to heart, believe that God is with you. The Great Commission, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Believe that God has people in this city, which is what we read in Acts chapter 18. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you, because I have many people in this city." The Lord has His people everywhere to whom we can speak and encourage to know Christ. And believe that by stirring up love in your heart, this won't feel like a law, but a grace. It's a grace to share the gospel. I don't want to lay a burden on you. It's a joy. You know, at the end, one of the things I just saw, December 30th or 31st, some people were mentioning their list of books they read in 2021. Which, I hate those things, because they always just make me look bad. I'm a slow reader, and I don't read, you know, nearly as many books as I wish I read, and so I see these things, and it just makes me feel inadequate. And I don't want to lay on you a challenge to make you feel inadequate. I'm laying on you a challenge that is good news, that is a joy, and the Lord is with you wherever you go. And I want to remind you that without Christ, people, we all, when we are without Christ, walking far from the Lord, we're like sheep without a shepherd. The beginning of the gospel is a messenger of the gospel. Everyone meet with one. And I pray that every one of us, with the Lord's help, would help others submit to Christ in 2022. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that You would enable us to be a people who are so overjoyed with the good news that we have in Christ Jesus, we would naturally share it with others. Help us, lead us, bring about deep friendships, love for people. Please bring about these sorts of relationships that we might see You work in us and through us this next year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn of response, number 224, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen.
Time today to stimulate your thinking. I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever ways comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings and we can meet face to face.
Our new service time is 9:30 a.m.